Right, hi everyone, and welcome to another Wunderkammer podcast. I'm over with Christian Link, and I've been wanting to get him on the podcast for a long time because he is an amazing guy who just does the most outstanding auctions over in Fakoda Auctions. You know, if anybody hasn't seen them, go to his page, have a look at these. I mean, have you been doing them for three or four years now, Christian?
This is the third year and the fourth auction that's coming up now in June.
Yeah, and with this auction, we're fortunate enough to, Christian's going to show us a few of the bits, basically. Sort of maybe after we get a little bit of a intel into what sort of got you into, you know, collecting Wunderkammer and cabinet, you know, cabinet of curiosities. So what sort of got you into it, mate?
Well, so first let me say thank you for taking the time to do this, Edward. Also a big fan of your show, and it's great to like get all these people together. I think that's what it's all about, to sharing the collections and the stories.
Yeah, no, thank you, mate.
Sorry,
yeah,
are you still there? Good.
Sorry. That just sometimes that will cut. Yes, no, thanks, mate. You know, getting people together like yourself has been just amazing for me. So just to see some of these objects all around the world is incredible.
Yeah, this guy is fantastic. Right, but this is not going to be in the auction.
Oh, okay. Yeah, because you do a lot of movie stuff, don't you, Christian, as well, in the auction?
Yeah. I sneak usually a couple of pieces in there just to keep it a bit fresh and a bit contemporary. And so that's how I try to get the Europeans also to notice this, in my opinion, very exciting trend in collecting, which usually is only in the States. So we try to infuse our auctions a little bit with movie props.
And you've had some great ones as well, haven't you, already?
Yeah, we had the little Knight Rider miniature was fun the last time, and a hammer from Thor, and yeah, a couple of bits and pieces. I think I do have, because the client never really picked it up, so it's still here, I think so. Oh no. No, actually not. It was the Willy Wonka chocolate. Maybe he picked it up after all. Maybe it disappeared. Maybe somebody ate it.
Yeah. So what sort of got you into the collecting to start with? I mean, what's sort of your background, Christian?
Right now it's the workshop of color. No, all kidding aside. when I was around 17, 18, I started to go like to the flea markets all the time in Zurich. We still have a very nice flea market at the Bürkliplatz. It's like a big place close to the lake, and I still do it to this day. And I'm still going there almost every Saturday in spring and summer. And it really just started because as some people know, I used to be and still sometimes am a close-up magician. Okay. So that's how I made my living for over 15 years. I did magic shows and small theater gigs and close-up magic for a very long time. And I used small antique objects to illustrate my stories. And I loved to go to the flea market and pick up strange little things. And already back then, I was drawn to the more macabre and kind of morbid stuff, which didn't really change. Stuff just got bigger. And then it just got out of hand. And I collected so much that I never could kind of excuse it anymore that it's all for my magic show. So I started also trading and selling and buying new stuff, and then just one thing led to another, and it just grew and grew and grew. And I opened a couple of galleries in Zurich, usually only for 2-3 months, so like a pop-up gallery, because I didn't really have the patience to stay in one place. And then I also kind of liked to raise my level of objects, so I could afford more rent, and this meant I could move into more the center of Zurich. And yeah, so it kind of spiraled out of control.
But it's great. And then obviously with that, it sort of brought the auctions on, I suppose, did it, with Coda?
Yeah, I mean, it was like in the beginning of COVID when we just closed the last gallery, which went really well. But and then just the lockdown happened in February 2020, and I approached Mr. Kohler, Cyril Kohler, and I asked him if he would be up to selling dinosaurs and spacesuits and meteorites and all that wonderful things that I like. And strangely enough, he said yes.
Brilliant.
So we opened this department, yeah, in June 2020.
Wow. And it's just went incredible, hasn't it, with some of the items that you've had in. I mean, you go back to Trinity and the T-Rex that you had, that it's just mind-blowing. The amount of hard work that must have went into, first of all, acquiring it, setting it up, you know.
There's still a little. Oh yeah, there she is. Yeah, it's the picture, the famous red picture that went around the world.
It was absolutely incredible. Incredible, that auction. It blew my mind, Christian. When I, you know, it really did.
Mine too.
How long did it? How long did it take to sort of set up? For people who don't know, you know, tell them about Trinity and the T-Rex. It was the only one to be sold in Europe.
So,
is that right?
Yes, we sold. I mean, we did the first auction with the Pteranodon, which is like the flying dinosaur, and we sold that really well. We sold a couple of other fossils. And this brought the attention of a US collector to us. And this US collector had, as you do, a T-Rex standing around that he wanted to sell. And to be honest, it was not the most easy T-Rex to sell, if you can kind of compare that, because it was the name Trinity stems from the fact that it's been put together by three different specimens.
Okay.
So we call it it's called a composite, and usually in all museums of the world they have composite dinosaurs, but sometimes it's a bit hard to explain that to the people, that usually from a 65 million year old animal you don't really find a full complete skeleton, so it's usually put together. But all that aside, yes, it was only the third one ever at auction, and it was the first one in Europe. And so only in my second auction I got the chance to do that, and it was a big success. And yeah, of course it kind of puts you on the map if you do a big thing like that.
It was absolutely incredible. I actually watched it and, you know, got the catalogue back there, which Coda kindly sent me, which was amazing. And they've been great with anything.
The big problem is it's a hard act to follow.
Yes. You have to keep finding these things. But you've been out on the hunt for the next auction, haven't you, Christian?
Yep.
That's the thing. Because you go away quite a bit to, like, America, and you've been to Japan and places like that.
Yeah,
is
then,
that to
then...
try and find items?
Yeah, the neck. Yes, 100%. So this one was the Triceratops. We sold that. That was the last one. That was the Triceratops Callisto that we sold. And after that, I really realized now I need to go out like and meet these dino diggers and dino preparators in the field and need to build up these networks. So I flew with my friend Alex. I flew to Tucson, Arizona, where I got to meet all these people on the inside. And that was big fun. And we found, and we discovered two dinosaur skeletons.
Wow, incredible. That's cool. Really cool.
So one is the Dryosaurus that will be up for auction in June. And the other one is a bit of a secret. I'm not allowed to speak about it yet, but it's a really, really cool one, the one
So
for
it's
December.
basically, watch this. It's basically get your eye on the Instagram, watch this space, and see what's going to be happening at the next auction. You know, because is it going to be something special like the other ones? I bet it is. Brilliant. It's how long does it take you to create these auctions then, from start to finish? I mean, is it just the whole, as soon as you finish, you're sort of starting again? Is that how it happens? A little.
It is now. I mean, it's kind of a curse because at the same time, I still would like to follow up with my gallery, but I don't really have time anymore right now. So maybe for a couple of years, excuse me, I'm gonna concentrate on the auctions now for a couple of years, and then I might just take it a bit easier again and go into the day-to-day trading, which I also really like and I miss sometimes a little bit because there's in the auction world it's a different kind of a routine. The good thing is because I know you also deal, so you know how it is to haggle. So that's big fun. And in the auction, there is no haggling.
No. Well, you
Just
probably
put.
see that as well at your market that you go, you're probably very used to that every Saturday. You've been used to haggling for items, haven't you?
Yes.
What's
Yeah.
the best thing that you found at your market that you go to in Zurich?
I think in Zurich, I think I found some really nice gogoths,
Ah,
these
interesting.
beautiful
Wow.
white sandstones. I actually found a piece of the planet Mars there one time, like a little Martian meteorite. I found some nice medical models. I found a couple of really nice ones. We actually do have a really, this is a very nice Martian one.
And that is a piece of Mars, is it, Christian?
This is a piece of Mars, yes.
So how, I've always wondered this, how do you know that it's a piece of Mars? Is it
No,
all
I
done
don't
by
know. I
test?
just say it. I just say
Is
it.
it all done by the actual tests, or what actually happens to sort of get the provenance and the verification with all the, especially meteorites, because I can imagine a lot of them are the same composition.
Yes. So you actually take this and you take, we call it isotopical. You take an isotopical probe and you, so there's like little gas pockets in there, in the stone, in every stone. There is like also in on Earth. But within those gas pockets, it pretty much has all the composition of the elements in it. So if you can go in and take a little sample and analyze the composition of the elements, then you have pretty much the calling card of the planet, and you can match that with the samples that NASA took.
Wow, that's incredible.
So
So
you.
would that be a meteorite that hit Mars, knocked a bit off? Is that how it works? Yeah, basically.
Yeah, I mean,
That's got to
in
be
the end,
incredibly
it
rare.
It's pretty, I mean, it's so there is an asteroid or other meteorite hitting Mars, and the impact propels pieces of debris and stones out into space, and then it just flies around for sometimes millions of years, like just going zigzag ping pong through space. And one day, by complete chaotic coincidence, one of the fragments will just fly directly onto Earth. And then it's also very important to let me illustrate that quickly. Okay, so let's say this Bezoar here. So
We
this
love
so this
a Bezoar. We love a Bezoar on the Wonder Camera podcast.
you have to,
Yes.
right? You have to.
That
That's a really
and
big
that is
one.
actually a very good size one, to be fair.
Yeah, this is also going to be in the June in the June option. So let's just say this is
Wow, that's a nice
Earth.
big one. Yep,
So
a Bezoar.
the meteorite is coming. So if it's too flat, this happens. So like a rock on the water. So if it's too flat, it will just pew, it goes away. It'll just bounce off. And if it's too straight, it will actually burn up in the atmosphere. So it has to be exactly the right angle, which is a little bit like that. And then it usually lands in the desert, and in the desert you can actually find it. So there's a string of crazy coincidences leading to this little guy landing on the planet Earth, and then somebody picking it up and finding it.
That's
And
incredible.
also in the June auction we have a rock from here. So this is some nice shells. Okay, so this guy. So this is amazing. This is a giant from Moon. This is a Moon meteorite.
That is a big one as well, isn't it?
It's
Because
2 kilos.
and these collectors of meteorites, are they the same sort of collectors? Would it just be the same collectors as fossils, or are they sort of different people who just collect meteorites? Or it could just be anybody, you know, they just fancy a bit of Mars or a bit of the moon.
I think I'm trying to get a lot of new people into the field of meteorite collecting. And I do have now a couple of friends also from like the movie prop collecting world, and they think it's absolutely brilliant to own a little piece of a different planet or a celestial body, and so they will just pick up one piece. But of course, some then get addicted and really start collecting them, because there is of course many hundreds, if not thousands, of different meteorites out there to collect. But for me, I always really like the Moon and the Mars, because it's such a staggering thought to have something in your hand from a different planet. So
It's incredible. And like you said, the circumstances of how all the different sort of twists of fate for it to find its way, you know, onto the earth and then into someone's ha and then into an auction and then into someone's hands. You know, it's just so many different steps. It's absolutely mind. So is there any other items that we could see that are going to be in the auction?
Yeah, like I said, this guy, sadly, this is private collection. I just had it restored. This is from Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy. So it's also a fitting piece for the meteorite story. This is a Vogon hat. This is actually ha this was made by Jim Henson Studio. And if we just go on the other side, you actually
Wow,
see
incredible.
So see, all the electronics are still in there. So that's amazing.
Are you
Absolutely amazing.
a big sci-fi lover? Movies, Christian? What's your favorite movies?
Yeah, I mean, I really like science fiction, fantasy, horror, but also like classics from the 1960s and 70s. I just acquired the suit, the complete pinstripe suit worn by Jack Nicholson in Chinatown. That's absolutely crazy. So yeah, for me, these are like pieces of relics, you know, these are like contemporary relics to me. Do
Yeah, I think
you
that's a lot
collect
of
movie
what
props
it
as
is
well?
about is how things are changing as well. That the items from movies are now relics, and people bring back nostalgia by owning a piece of it as well.
I think you love this. This is cool.
Oh, that's great, that is. So that's a
So
full
this
sort of
is
head of a hammerhead as well. That's great.
Hammer Shark.
Yes, brilliant. A hammerhead shark. Yes,
Yeah.
we've had the bone skeleton version, but we've never had the taxidermy
Okay.
sort of model.
Yeah, this is the restoration workshop. That's amazing.
So with the auction, Christian, if people want to bid, they just need to go to either where do they find to go and bid and have a look at the when does the catalogue come out? Do you know all these sort of things, details yet, or?
Yeah, I think the catalog will be layouted actually next week,
Okay,
and
brilliant.
it will be it will I think it will be online in on about May 5 to May 10th, somewhere there. And we also have printed, as you know, we have printed versions, which are, I think, great. I mean, I love a physical catalog to hold in your hand. So this is the contemporary art space where we put all the big paintings. Yeah,
Because
so you can go online, you can bid by telephone, you can register online, or you can actually come to Zurich.
one day I will come.
You should. We
Yes.
make a conti we make a continu a continuation of this pod when you're here.
I've got another baby coming, so in about 4 weeks' time,
Oh.
Christian. So I'm gonna be stuck at home, I think. I'll
You
be
mean
definitely
you
watching.
mean inside inside a glass tube from the 18th century, or a real one?
So basically, they need to
Should
find you.
we?
Where do they
Yes.
find you on Instagram? What is your handle, Christian? Obviously, I'll put it up as well.
Yeah, that's cool. I think we can continue this episode in my Wunderkammer showroom because the battery of my phone is dying right now. So let's
Brilliant.
say this was the first half, and you can find me on Instagram under Wunderkammer _ Zurich. Which I'm very lazy lately. I don't really post a lot. This is Zurich.
It looks nice and sunny and a lot better than what it does here, mate. It is blowing a
Yeah.
gale here and it is the worst weather. It looks nice in Zurich. The sun's
Yeah,
out.
today it's like 10 degrees today. It was I am sure, like with you guys, it was almost 30, about 2 days ago, 3 days ago.
Yeah. Well,
And
Christian,
this is the photo studio.
oh, right, show us.
Mountain.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, Christian, what
So
we'll
I'll
do is
just walk to my.
Yeah, sorry, sorry. You go ahead. You go ahead.
What we'll do, Christian, is we'll pick up in your studio. That would be amazing. And thank you for showing us, you know, some of this. It's been amazing.
Sure.
It looks like you're going to have some incredible items, you know, up in the auction.
Sure.
And credit to you for finding this stuff, because how on earth do you do that? That is, you know, it must be a job in itself. And as you said, you've been working for a year each time, or after each auction, to get the next one going.
Yeah, so, it's like two auctions a year now, and which means every 6 months. So now definitely it is after the auction is before the auction. But you know, it's my dream came true a little bit, you know, like wanting to be Indiana Jones, but being too chicken to really go into the Amazon. So I'll just find my stuff, I don't know, on markets. And then I could, Tucson, Arizona is safe enough to go.
Well, Christian, it's been amazing. So thank you. And we'll hopefully see some more stuff, you know, in the second half.
We will.
Thanks, mate.
Thank you so much, Edward, for doing this.